Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock on Friday the 8th of May 2015. My name's Jamie Veitch. I'm your presenter for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. We're broadcasting live on 93.2 FM and through our internet live stream. And this show will also be available to listen to as a podcast later from our website. If you've been with us overnight, watching and listening to our live coverage of the general election results, thanks for staying with us. Our team, including Max, Laura, Sangeeta, Catherine, Mika, Mickey and Emma, with the technical support of Greg, Phil, Paul and numerous others, have done a tremendous job of delivering a live overnight broadcast. Sheffield Live will also be covering the council election results live this afternoon. Now, in today's programme, we have interviews in the studio with Penny Raven, talking about Sheffield Soup and Pecha Kucha, with Debbie Cundy, a qualified professional personal performance coach, and with Elizabeth Chassier of Startup Weekend and of Textocracy and Appointment Doctor. Before we turn to our guests, a little bit of business news. Initial data from the Social Enterprise UK's State of Social Enterprise Survey 2015 shows a diverse sector exceeding expectations in both growth and impact. Over half of social enterprises, businesses which trade for social and environmental purposes and reinvest profits to meet a social mission, have seen an increase in their turnover in the last year. Partly this is being driven by innovation. 59% of organisations have developed new products and services, and over 50% of businesses in the social enterprise sector are less than 5 years old. On diversity, social enterprise sector vastly outperforms regular businesses. 40% of social enterprises are now led by a woman, and 11% of leaders are from a minority ethnic background, comparing to just 18% and 7% amongst regular small businesses. This last year has also seen a greater number of social enterprises trading with both the public and the private sectors. And 14% of social enterprises are now exporting overseas. The full State of Social Enterprise survey is going to be published later on this year. Sheffield Business School is inviting businesses to join them for the 2015 Sheffield Management Lecture. This year's lecture, Experiential Lessons for Business Success, takes place on Monday the 18th of May in the Sheffield Business School's Stoddart Lecture Theatre at 6:30 p.m. The guest speaker, Martin Temple, is the chairman of EEF Limited, the industry body for employers in the manufacturing and technology industries, and also is the chairman of the Design Council, which champions and encourages the use of great design to transform organisations, products, services and people's lives. Martin Temple is going to present 20 key lessons from his experiences as a business leader and will share knowledge, expertise and anecdotes. The lecture provides a forum for business executives to explore issues. It's free to attend and you can book. Just search online for Sheffield Business School Experiential Lessons for Business Success, 18th May. Now, whatever your views on the election results, I'd like to hear them. Are they good for business? Are they good for social enterprise? Are they good for the economy? Are they good for people? You can get in touch with this programme and with Sheffield Live. Email me, jamie@sheffieldlive.org. Text me, 07904 272 200. Find me on Twitter, @JamieVeitch. If you're interested in suggesting that you come on the programme, email me, and maybe we'll be able to get you on next week. Whether you're starting or running a business or a social enterprise, whether you're self-employed or if you're an employer, we're keen to hear from you. But turning now to our guests in the studio, I want to welcome all three of our guests, Penny, Debbie and Elizabeth. Good morning, all of you.
Morning.
Good morning.
And thanks very much for coming in today. I don't know if anyone's been up all night, but if you have been, then thank you so much for making the effort to come in. I'm going to introduce all of you and what you all do, and then we're going to focus on each of your areas of expertise and your businesses and what you're doing. Penny, you're here to talk about Sheffield Soup and Pecha Kucha. Debbie is here to talk about overcoming challenges and helping others to do the same. And Elizabeth is here to talk about Startup Weekend. So first of all, is Elizabeth, you're part of the organising team of Startup Weekend. And some of our listeners will know what Startup Weekend is. because we've previously, last year, we've interviewed Sam Deakin on the show to talk about it. That it's said to be the birthplace, potentially, of the next major innovation in the music or literature industry. Now, that's a lofty claim. What's Startup All Weekend going to be all about, then?
Our Startup Weekend this year, which takes place towards the end of June, gives a chance for coders, developers, programmers, and non-techie people alike to come together with a great idea that they think could really disrupt the music and literature industries. So we're looking at things like the next Spotify, the next Shazam, the next BiblioCloud, you name it. If you can come up with an idea, you can get together with people in a room and work on it for a weekend and probably come up with something pretty amazing.
So, sounds good. It's open to the public, and it's combining literature, music, tech and entrepreneurship then to create innovations in the industries. And when's it taking place?
It's June 26th through 28th. We get together on the Friday night, and we work through to the Sunday night when there's a judging panel to take the best ideas forward.
And so who are the judges and what's their expertise and how will they make their decisions?
We have a range of judges. We're very fortunate in the amount of support that we've gotten so far. People who are willing to give their time and through Indiegogo campaign give their money. So fantastic. Thank you to the supporters for that. So they come together. They're from the literature and music industries. We have some technical people who know their tech. We have some business people who are able to judge the soundness of the business plan and models that people bring forward, and they're there to give their expertise and to determine which of these businesses might really have a footing to get going after the Startup Weekend ends.
And you talked about the crowdfunding campaign there on Indiegogo. That's getting phenomenal support. You were looking for £2,500. What's the purpose of the campaign? Why have you set up the campaign?
It's the first crowdfunding campaign for a Startup Weekend globally, and we're getting a lot of attention from global headquarters in Seattle, who runs the global programs of Startup Weekend. So there's hundreds of cities around the countries that do this. We're the first one to have an Indiegogo crowdfunding campaign. We've had a massive amount of attention from it from the beginning. What people will be contributing to is the ability to support the startups that are born on that weekend to take that forward going on after the weekend closes. So it really gives some of our newest, most innovative businesses in Sheffield a leg up to really hit the ground running when that weekend closes. So it's a massive support for them.
And that's interesting. The campaign gives the ability to support these businesses, but the campaign is the first of any Startup Weekend. Startup Weekend is part of this global brand. So tell us more about how you plug into that globally.
It's a fantastic support network. So the headquarters is based in Seattle, which is staffed by a range of people who know their Startup Weekends, how they're constructed, how to get the most out of them, how best to support people to participate in them, and how to get the most out of that weekend. So we tap into that. We have their knowledge and expertise, their years of experience to draw on, and not only that, we have their global reach and publicity capability, so we can really get the word out. We all learn from each other across Startup Weekends, and we want to improve each and every time we have one of these. So not only are we the first in Sheffield to have a crowdfunding campaign, we're also the first to focus on a music and literature theme. So the people back in Seattle are thrilled to bits, and all eyes are on Sheffield, and they've given us a lot of votes of confidence, and they're telling the world about what we're doing here in Sheffield.
That's tremendous. So we're talking about Startup Weekend, and I'm talking at the moment with Elizabeth Chassier, who's one of the co-organisers of Startup Weekend, and we've just been talking about the connecting local and global there, which is a theme that we'll return to later on in the show as we talk about Petra Kucha with Penny as well. But Elizabeth, you yourself, of course, you're co-organising Startup Weekend, but you've been through Startup Weekend as well. So as an experience, is it daunting? Is it exciting? Is it terrifying? Is it inspirational? Is it all of the above?
Probably a bit of everything there. But if there's anyone who could be a poster person for Startup Weekends, it's me, because my story is a little different. I came out of 20 years in the public sector. I worked in the NHS and local authority. And when I first came back up to Sheffield last November, Startup Weekend was about to happen. And someone talked me into doing it. And I thought, I have no business being there. I'm not a techie. I don't know one end of technology from the other. Why would I go? But I had a lot of ideas. So I turned up on the Friday night. I pitched an idea. Lots of people liked it. And a lot of techies, developers, business people wanted to be on my team because they saw the value of the idea and they had the skills I didn't. And so I went through to win that one with Appointment Doctor. And I'm still working on that now. So it is all of those things. But I think first and foremost, it's a wonderful opportunity to learn and meet people, people who you can build wonderful things with outside of that startup weekend afterwards when you keep in touch with them. So it is exciting. It's a lot of fun. So for the price of admission, which is £40 for our early bird up to June 1st, you get your food and drink involved. You get the mentors and coaches who will help you through the weekend. You meet wonderful people with skills that you don't have that complement yours. You get to see your idea come to life potentially. And you also get great feedback from the judges. So that's what I've done with mine. I had that kick that I needed, and I have a lot more confidence in tech, and I've made a lot of tech friends. So we can go great places now.
Well, that's an amazing story. And as you say, you're a poster person for Startup Weekend as a result. And you came to Sheffield and pretty much straight away got onto that Startup Weekend in November.
I did. And, you know, the interesting thing is I lived in the South Yorkshire before, moved away, came back because I knew Sheffield was doing great things. And Sheffield has a great kick right now to become a good technological and digital hub of the North. Exciting people are here, lots of great minds and talents, lots of will, lots of support for businesses and technology. So I came here intentionally and just so happened to time it with the Startup Weekend. And boy, I've not looked back.
Well, tremendous, tremendous story there. So tell us just a little bit about Appointment Doctor then, your idea that you were pitching and working on.
I think that's one of the wonderful things about the Startup Weekend structure is that I had a lot of industry information, insider information from a long career, and I've seen all the problems firsthand. And public sector agencies aren't always the best at innovation and looking to the future. So I was able to bring a problem that I had seen, which is missed appointments in primary care to a Startup Weekend, and with the people who know a lot more about me about solutions, we were able to design something that could help reduce missed appointments in primary care. They cost a lot of money. They mean that people don't get appointments as quickly as they'd like. Doctors sit fallow for periods of times when someone who really needs that appointment could be there. So we all put our heads together and came up with a solution for that. And that's what Appointment Doctor is. It's a texting-based appointment management system to reduce missed appointments and get more people in to see their GP when they need to.
And how's uptake going then with Appointment Doctor? Clearly, it has a social value, social impact, both for doctors and for patients, and great impact in terms of reducing costs. But and how is uptake moving forward?
Well, with any true startup, it's still fledgling, yep. And I'm still building on it. And I'm doing that with the people that I met through the connections I made at a Startup Weekend. Yep. So I'm still doing the market research, getting the traction in the markets and so on, and working with someone who's looking to build the prototype of from that weekend into something that's really robust and whizzy, as I like to call it. That's my technical term for these things that I don't understand. A very whizzy solution.
I think whizzy is a brilliant technical term. I like that.
And so it's only however many months in, yeah. And when we're building that up. So as with any startup, any idea, you really get that boost. If I were sat in my living room with this idea and hadn't been to a Startup Weekend, I would still be doodling on a piece of paper, dreaming about what this might look like. Just from having done that Startup Weekend, I have a real concrete knowledge of the technology it takes. Can't do it, but I have a real concrete technology.
But you've got the team now, haven't you?
I've got people around me. I know networks. I know where to go. If I need an answer and I don't have anybody around me that knows that answer, I know somebody who does. And it's all from that Startup Weekend and the friends I made, the connections I made, and the confidence I got from participating to know that I can be a non-techie, go into an atmosphere like that, and everyone was wonderful. Nobody gave me funny looks or didn't speak to me because I didn't know how to use the computer. They just said, what do you know and what do you want to do, and I can help you do it.
So what a lovely story, as I say. That's a fantastic example of how it actually works. So we've been talking about forthcoming Startup Weekend and with a focus for authors, for coders, for developers and for creatives to come together to see what they can dream, to see what they can build and to see how they can take literature, how they can take art, how they can take coding, how they can use entrepreneurship to innovate in the music and literature industry. So, Elizabeth Chassier, can you just tell people where they can find out more about Startup Weekend?
Absolutely. Well, our Indiegogo campaign is still up and running, so thank you so much to everyone who has supported that. So you can go to Indiegogo and look at Sheffield Startup Weekend Music and Literature. To register, registration is now live and open. You can go to www.up.up.co/communities/UK/Sheffield, and you can find us there. Or just Google Sheffield Startup Weekend Music and Lit, and I'm sure you'll see lots of information about it.
You'll find it there, absolutely. I will tweet out the link from my own Twitter account, Jamie Veitch, as well. But you can find Startup Weekend on Twitter as well, and the links can be followed there, both to the registration page and to the Indiegogo campaign. So your Twitter account, Startup Weekend?
Is at SW Sheffield. Super. And you can also hashtag us at SW Music Lit, because we are the only one.
Superb. Well, Elizabeth Chassier, thanks very much for telling us about forthcoming Startup Weekend. Sounds like it's going to be a phenomenal event, really exciting. We are going to play a quick track of music that you have chosen, and this is a track by Will.i.am. It's a track called Geekin'. Do you want to say why you've chosen it?
Yes. The sentiment in this song is my new lease on life. I've learned to embrace technology and love it. Might never be able to do it, but now I can see the potential of it. And it can do amazing things when we put our heads together. And we can solve real problems for real people with it, too, if we all just work together. And I think Will.i.am embodies that in this song. It's great.
Elizabeth, thank you.
Thank you.
We're open for business life.
You're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live, broadcasting on 93.2 FM and from sheffieldlive.org across Sheffield and the world. My name is Jamie Veitch. We've been talking earlier today with Elizabeth Chassier, co-organiser of the Startup Weekend, which is coming soon. Now, if you've only just tuned in and you've missed that, don't worry, because you can find the podcast of today's show on the Sheffield Live website later on today. It'll be up about 11 o'clock. Maybe 12, but it'll be up there later. Just go to sheffieldlive.org, find shows, look for Business Live, and you'll see the show for today, Friday the 8th of May. Now, I'm very pleased to welcome our next guest onto the show. Debbie Cundy is a qualified professional personal performance coach. Debbie, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining me today.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So you've come in today to talk about how you're helping other people, helping your clients to achieve their goals. And that's really come from your own story, which is a really, really interesting story in itself in terms of overcoming challenges. Do you want to tell us a little bit about some of those challenges that you've faced and how you've done that?
Well, I sort of decided about 2 years ago, after, as you said, my own sort of personal journey, I've actually lost in total 12 stone in weight. And that journey has been an amazing journey for me, and it continues to be. So I decided to set up a coaching business, Clarity in Mind, as I said, 2 years ago. And the thing I find about my own sort of challenges that I've had to overcome is what sort of positives you can get out of that. I think sometimes when people are not in a good place, whether it's with weight or other things that are going off in their lives, they don't at that time see the positives that can come from that. And I chose to lose the weight and support local charities, especially Western Park Cancer Hospital in Sheffield, which I have done for nearly 20 years.
You've fundraised considerably for them, haven't you?
Yeah. Over the last 20 years, I've taken part in various activities, bike rides. I've sailed down the Alamshire Hospital a couple of times. And on the back of that, I've met some fantastic people. I've raised a large amount of money, thousands of pounds.
Well, you're a prolific fundraiser for charities, and you've been recognised for that, I think, haven't you? From for instance, Bradfield Parish Council gave you, was it the Good Citizen Award? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. I have been sort of recognised for my charity work, And in June this year, I'm actually at the moment in training to cycle London to Paris for Western Park. As a personal performance coach, I think it's really key that you do walk the talk, especially my specialised area being weight loss. I do coach in other areas, but I think it's really key that you do continue to, you know, have your own goals, have your own motivation to continue and do what you do. So I chose this year I wanted to do something a little bit different, and as I say, I'm cycling London to Paris in June. It's 252 miles over 3 days, and I'm supporting Western Park for that.
So that's going to be an interesting ride, and it's a tough ride. We know we've previously interviewed Darren, the director of Meadowhall, who's made that cycle ride himself, and I interviewed him afterwards. He was very sore. So I don't underestimate the fact that people think 252 miles are, you know, Tour de France people, they do that, you know, in 2 days, but. No, for ordinary people like us, as opposed to Tour de France riders, it would be incredibly hard work and a big challenge, which is great. And if you're being sponsored to do it for Western Park, then it is a challenge, you know, to do it. That's tremendous and exciting. Now, in terms of your experience, you talked about losing an incredible 12 stones in weight and your specialism in terms of helping people being weight loss management, but also supporting them in areas like stress management and retirement coaching, career development and other areas. It must really help to be able to have the direct personal experience and to be able to empathise with where your clients are.
Oh, definitely. I mean, my weight loss journey has not been easy. I lost my father just before I was getting married very suddenly, and that was just a complete and utter blow, you know. It really put me back in terms of my weight and sort of low self-esteem, really. And you know, again, from that experience, I've looked at, you know, how can I make that a positive thing. And one of the great motivators for me is the people that I meet when I do these events. I've met some fantastic people, people that have had cancer, people that families have had cancer. And I have got close friends, as I'm sure we all have and the listeners have, that you know somebody that's been touched by cancer. And it motivates me to think, you know, what I do in terms of my own sort of weight loss, supporting my clients, you know, it just helps me to keep focus really on the positive rather than the negative that cancer can bring to people.
And so, when you are working with a client, whether you're helping someone in terms of weight loss or you're helping them in terms of other goals, what's your approach?
Well, basically, I think I have different people come to me for different things. I mean, I have clients that come to me and they know exactly what they want, but they're not quite sure how to get there and they need a little bit of support and guidance. I have clients that come to me that say, I don't know what I want. All I know, it's not what I've got now. And you think, there's quite a lot of unpacking to do there. One thing I do find that's very helpful is to see where they are now and where they want to be and the reality of what they're doing at the moment in terms of getting that goal. I mean, when I had sort of 12 stone to lose, you know, it was a big number, and it's about breaking it down and breaking it down into a smaller, manageable size, whatever your goal is, whether it's a business goal or whether it's a personal goal. It's really about breaking it down and chipping away at it. And look at me, you know, I'm nearly, well, I'm 48 and the fittest I've ever been, you know. And it's not about it's too late or I can't do. And a lot of people have sort of limiting beliefs about things as well. It may be that it's something that's come from childhood or something that someone's sort of put in their own, in their minds, you know, I can't do this. And I think once you start sitting down with your clients and being supportive and asking the right questions and letting them know that, you know, you're the catalyst for their change and moving them one step forward to a more positive life. It's so amazing when you see people transform. It's great, you know, to see that you can do what you want to do. And, you know, with the story that we've just heard, you know, it's strange how you meet people that help you to move on, to move on, to move on. And, yeah, it's great. I love it.
And you yourself as well, you as a successful business person, you're also a qualified chef as well.
Yes, I am, yeah, I'm qualified. Yeah, I've got many strings to my bow, as they say. Yeah, I'm a qualified chef. So, you know, that's helped me, I suppose, in some respects, to know what I shouldn't eat. Hmm. It is an area that is good for me, I suppose, you know, in knowing the food I can eat and what I shouldn't eat.
And another string to the bow is writing, of course.
Yeah, again, this is something that I thought to myself, you know, shall I do it, shall I have a go? And I decided to write small sort of features about my story. I actually write for an American magazine called About Her, and they're just short stories about basically what I'm up to. But they're all very motivating, all around coaching, all around my weight loss, my challenges on obviously getting on the bike and putting the miles in and keeping focused. And I actually do kickboxing as well. I've done kickboxing for 16 years at a local gym. And I'm going to mention it's Powers Gym at Stannington. They're a fantastic family-run gym.
So and, a lovely example of a local business.
Yeah, local business, really good. And I've known Swan Paul for many years, and it's great. I love it. I love kickboxing.
So you've done that for 16 years,
yeah.
And then you've talked about doing the bike ride from here to Paris,
yeah.
And pushing yourself out of your comfort zone as well.
Yeah.
So a nice mixture there. Of pushing yourself and being able to see things from your client's point of view as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So you're listening to Business Live with me, Jamie Veitch. We're broadcasting on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org. And I'm talking at the moment with Debbie Cundia, qualified personal performance coach, operating as Clarity in Mind, and website deborahcundy.com. And we've heard earlier on the show from Elizabeth Shassir, one of the organisers of Startup Weekend Sheffield. We're going to be talking shortly in the show with Penny Raven, talking about Sheffield Soup and Pechacucha Sheffield. But before we do that, just turning back to Debbie. So, Debbie, one question I have for you, was it you're running your own business in terms of helping other people. Was it always your dream to work for yourself?
I think not initially, no. I think it was just the events in my life and people saying to me, "What have you thought about this? Have you thought about that?" I am very good with people. I always have been. You know, I think I've got a good sort of rapport with people in general. So it was, I suppose, the events of my life that made me think, yeah, maybe I can think about doing coaching and supporting others. I mean, I'm actually working very shortly on a couple of projects, one with the Hallam University, the Sports and Science Department, looking at focusing on people that have been affected by cancer and getting them back into physical exercise. So that's one area that I'm going to be working on. And the other area as well that I'm really, really looking forward to working with is local projects, supporting local people, helping them with self-belief, you know, that they can change their lives. And I also go along and speak to people, like guest speaking. And I think different people take different things out of my story, whether it's the motivation to do charity work and in the community, support the community.
Which is obviously a real driver for you.
Oh, yeah. I love supporting local communities, as you said, Bradfield. I've been born and bred in Sheffield, so, you know, it's the way I roll, really. I think working with local people you sort of feel that you're giving something back to where you come from and where you live. That's important to me as well.
And that that gives us a lovely link with our next guest, of course, Penny. And again, we'll talk about Penny's what Penny's doing in a moment. But it's a common theme on this show, business people coming in and talking about the absolute importance, whether they're running a social enterprise or whether they're running a traditional business, whether they're self-employed, of being embedded in part of the community and doing things that are... have values as well as economic values, which it's really interesting to hear that from you, Debbie. Now, I'm going to ask you for a final answer, and I'm afraid I need to keep it brief, just for about 30 seconds, 60 seconds. So distill some of your expertise into 30 or 60 seconds. Tips for anyone who's running their own business or working for themselves, whatever the business. You're a successful business person. This is a business and social enterprise program. So anyone listening who is working for themselves or thinking about working for themselves, you've been there, done that, doing that. Any tips or advice?
I think one thing I would say is talk to people. Don't make it sometimes too hard for yourself. As Elizabeth said, there's people out there that you might have a cracking idea, but you might just need some support in executing it. And I would say embrace any opportunities you can to get your name out there, to get your business, you know, up and running. And talk to people and don't be frightened to.
Superb. Great tip there. Great advice from Debbie Cundy. Debbie, where can people find out more about you then?
You can go on my website, which is deborahcundy.com. Or I'm on LinkedIn, if you just find my name on there. Okay. And I'd be happy to talk to anybody if I can help you.
Super. Well, Debbie, thanks very much for coming on the programme today. And we're going to play a track of music that you've chosen. It's a track by The Jam. It's a track called Town Called Malice. Do you want to mention why you've chosen it?
I think it's a very upbeat song. I think if you don't like The Jam, I think there must be something wrong with you.
We're open for business life.
You listen to Business Live on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org across Sheffield and the world. My name's Jamie Veitch, and on the show today, we've heard from Elizabeth Shassir talking about Startup Weekend. We've heard from Debbie Cundy about personal performance coaching, and now we're going to bring Penny Raven into the studio. Penny, thanks for joining us today, and good morning again.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
So, Penny, you've got a really fascinating story. We're going to talk about Sheffield Soup, which is so exciting. I'm really, really looking forward to this. But I know what it is. Our listeners don't necessarily know what it is. Some will, some won't. What is Sheffield Soup?
In a nutshell, it is sociable crowdfunding by local people for local people's projects.
So how's that going to work?
People will come to an event to have some soup and some bread to make new friends. They'll listen to some music and they will also hear four shortlisted pitches from people's ideas in the local community, whether that be for business or for social purpose. And they will pay £5 on entry, the audience. They'll listen to those pitches and at the end of the night they will vote on their favourite idea, and essentially the winner takes the door money.
The winner gets a pot.
Yep, to go and make their idea come to life.
So winner then takes some money, but four pitches on the night.
That's right.
And how are you going to choose the first four pitches for the first Sheffield Soup then?
So I am inviting people to be judges. I want a real diverse judging panel. And what they will do is on deadline day decide which ideas they like and which ideas they do not like. That will then culminate into a list of the top four, which will then be invited to come along on Super Night.
So, Super Night indeed. So you mentioned that these can be all sorts of ideas. They could be business, they could be social purpose. There's no kind of restrictions here.
None. What I wanted to do was make it a totally inclusive idea, fundraising project. Let the people of Sheffield decide if it's something that we want to happen, rather than some of the alternatives, which are great and good, and they address social issues, but rather than saying only 18 to 25s or only deprived background, this is anything.
open
the
to
judging,
all.
Yeah, the judging process will make sure the right things get through.
And this is exciting because it's kind of real time, live in front of you, crowdfunding.
Yeah, how innovative are we? Take something that was on the web and make it real life.
it's a lovely step, and it's a little bit like a pitching competition in terms of, you know, dragons and so on, but it's different as well because bang, they go away. The money is there, they go away. Yeah. And this, of course, is not your only innovative idea, but what made you want to do Sheffield Zoo? Why?
Okay, so March, April time last year, I heard about something called Chicago soup, which then led me to discover Detroit soup. Now, Detroit soup is being followed by the BBC. There's a documentary series called Can Soup Change the World? And unfortunately, Easter weekend, I was a bit poorly, and I should have been going to my sister's 40th birthday. And in channel surfing, saw the documentary and I thought, oh, it's that thing. Watched it and I thought, do you know what? I'm going to move it from the perpetual, never-ending, never-done-to-do list and do it. So reserved all of the domain names, registered with a central organisation, put it out there. By Monday, I was being invited to talk on the radio, which was a bit bizarre, but it's fantastic. So there's obviously an appetite for it in Sheffield too.
Yeah, there's an appetite for soup, indeed. Mm-hmm. And super. I can carry on this punning front, but I probably won't, actually. I'm very sorry.
Please do.
But so out of illness came the awareness of seeing this happen and thinking, yeah, I'll make this happen here in Sheffield. Of course, you've got a track record yourself of making interesting things happen in Sheffield. You and a colleague of yours, Johnny Douglas, have behind Petra Kucha Sheffield, which has become a worldwide phenomenon. And when you run Petra Kucha in Sheffield, it's incredibly popular. What is Petra Kucha?
So Petra Kucha is, fundamentally, it's a presentation night, which really doesn't do it justice. It is we call it nightclubbing for thinkers and for the creative classes. So people come along, they will be completely, completely entertained with short films, 6 short talks and some kind of collaborative performance. It's completely run by volunteers, but that doesn't come through. The night is full on production, professionally supported. We've got some great sponsors who can only sponsor in time and expertise. And the process is a presentation format, which basically means the speaker has 20 images and they auto-forward every 20 seconds. So a total of 6 minutes and 40 seconds. There is no deviation from the rule. Once the crowd has counted down the speaker, we're off. The timers are going for everybody to see.
And the next Petra Kucha is coming up fairly soon. So.
Yes. So volume 18 is on the 28th of May at the local authority, which is a really interesting new venue just above Corporation Nightclub. And the theme is Final Frontiers, and we will be exploring the edges of just about everything.
Exploring the edges. So people need to find out about that. They can follow the Petra Kucha Sheffield Twitter account,
yeah,
and that'll take them to the link to book tickets. But just on the Petra Kucha front, again, we've been talking about connecting the local to the global. We talked about that earlier with Elizabeth with Startup Weekend, and Petra Kucha is part of a global phenomenon too.
It is. So in 2003, two architects set up the process, which is now patented and copyrighted. But apparently, allegedly, if you give an architect a stage and a microphone, they'll stay on there until someone turns the lights out. So they restricted it.
So they say.
And a lot of people became interested in that. And by the year that we got our licence, which was 2000 and... Right, we've been doing this for 5 years. So, yeah, sort of back end of 2009, I think it was, we got the licence. We were the 300th city on the planet. There's now over 800 cities. running Pachacucha nights all over the world. And the other great thing about it is if there's ever any residual from ticket fees, then that goes back to Japan, and Japan then reallocate that to a developing country to provide a projector and a microphone and a laptop so that they can run their own PKs. So we've had some wonderful images of presentations on the side of mountains and mud huts, and just incredible. So
what an amazing story. So people come along to an event, they'll have an entertaining time, they'll be entertained, they'll have a great, inspiring time, they'll meet other people, they'll connect, they'll perhaps do business locally. It'll be good for people. Good for people locally in terms of business, and good for developing economies globally as well. So, Penny, you've got an interesting story yourself in terms of your experience in corporate and your experience in community activities, and being in a position of responsibility in the sort of corporate environment and doing an incredible number of community projects, or being involved with or helping or supporting an incredible number of community projects here in Sheffield as well. And again, listeners to this programme will be at all sorts of business stages, in their own business, in businesses they run or they're part of, or social enterprises, or in thinking about going into business. You've probably got incredible insights and advice for people who are in business. What would you say are some of the key things that you've learned in your business and social enterprise journey?
I would say know where you're going and have a plan. And it's great to have the big lofty vision, know what the deal is in 5, 10, 15 years' time, but focus on the next 90 days. What are the key things that you need to achieve? And that's looking at your finance, marketing, and what people should be doing. And if you have staff, please make sure that they know what needs to be achieved in the next 90 days.
In terms of communication.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So I suppose it's a case of not assuming that everyone shares your vision. Make sure they know about it. And can we tell people then, where can they get involved? How, first of all, can they get involved in Sheffield Soup?
If they have a look and join up on the blog on sheffieldsoup.com, or they can follow on Twitter, which is Chef, SHEFF, Soup, or they can follow me, Penny Raven, Penny with an IE. I always tell people how they remember my name is the Money Bird, even though I'm not. But it's Penny with an IE, as in the old Penny, and Raven, the bird.
And find you on Twitter as well. And for Pachacucha, let's just give the link out again.
So Pachacucha is PK and Chef on Twitter, so SHEFF. And Pachacucha Sheffield is the website.
Superb. We're listening to Business Live on Sheffield Live with me, Jamie Veitch. We're talking with Penny Raven about Sheffield Soup and Pachacucha Sheffield. And we've heard also earlier in the programme today from my other studio guests, Debbie Cundy, a personal performance coach, and Elizabeth Chassier, co-organiser of Startup Weekend here in Sheffield. This programme will be back next week, Friday, from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. So tune in then. But don't go away now, because next up on Sheffield Live is our fantastic folk music programme. Thank goodness it's folk. That'll be on from 10 all the way through to noon. In the studio also with us today has been Paul Gregory, helping out as our sound engineer. So my thanks to him, and my thanks to our guests, Penny, Debbie and Elizabeth, and my thanks to you for listening. Now, before we go, and before we go to our last track of music, which has been chosen by Penny, we're just going to go back to Elizabeth. Elizabeth, you've been patiently waiting in the studio since joining us. Can you just give a quick shout out again? Where can people find out more about Startup Weekend Sheffield?
Absolutely. Go to up.co, that's up.co, and look for our Sheffield event. You can also Google Sheffield Startup Weekend Music and Lit, and you'll find tons of information there.
Superb. So a lovely reminder there. Debbie, where can people find out more about you?
You can find me on deborahcundy.com, Clarity in Mind, LinkedIn, Facebook, Thanks very much.
And back to Penny. Where can people find out more?
So for Sheffield Soup, www.sheffieldsoup.com, or follow us on Twitter, Chef Soup. And for Pechacucha Sheffield, it's pechacuchasheffield.com, Pechacucha. Is how you say Pechacucha. And Twitter is PKN for Pechacucha Nights Chef.
Superb. Now we're going to play a track of music, which is a track by Hot Chocolate, which has been chosen by Penny. Penny, do you want to tell us why you've chosen the track?
Yeah, sure. So first of all, sadly, Errol Brown died yesterday.
Indeed.
But Hot Chocolate just... it made me think of Sheffield before I became a Sheffield lass, and purely because of Full Monty. And, yeah, it kind of... it just brings warm, smiley feelings whenever I hear it.
We'll play that track now. Penny, and also my other guests, Debbie and Elizabeth, thank you very much for joining me today. We're going to play out with Hot Chocolate, You Sexy Thing.